This morning, take your Bible and turn to Genesis 31. Genesis chapter 31, we're going to look at the first 18 verses of Genesis 31. Last week, we began a series of messages entitled, But God. We talked about the difference that God made when he enters into a situation. And we talked about game changers and how in life there are things that change the circumstances that seemingly maybe are headed the wrong way. Maybe that home run in the bottom of the ninth inning that also sudden brings back life to the baseball game and so on. And so there's game changers. And of course, more seriously than that, in life, there are circumstances where God intervenes and changes the circumstances of life. Last week we talked about Joseph and how that God intervened in the situation in Joseph's life. His life looked like a tragic mess, really. But at the end of his life, Joseph testified to the fact that God was in everything that happened. Or not really the end of his life, but in the end of the bigger part of the story of his life, he testified to the fact that God was in all those circumstances and changed things around, those things that were meant for evil. God turned them around for good. And we entitled that message last week, But God, a Testimony of God's Purpose. This morning I'd like to continue with that thought of the difference that God makes in our life and think about the faithfulness of God and the difference God's faithfulness makes in our life. In Lamentations 3, it says in verse 22 and 23, It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I don't really think we realize how many times in life God intervenes in our life because he is faithful and spares us from many things, or just brings things around in our life that we really are totally oblivious to, but God is at work. Our lives would be tragic, really, if God was not faithful to us. Psalm 124, the psalmist is testifying that God is good to Israel and how God intervenes in Israel, and how that if it wasn't for God's intervention in Israel, that the enemies would consume them. And boy, don't we see still today, in 2014, that truth. If God was not watching out for Israel, Israel would be wiped off the map. But God, in his great kindness and faithfulness, is at work in Israel even today. And so it's a wonderful thing to consider the faithfulness of God. And this morning, as we look at the life of Jacob, I'd like us to consider a message I've entitled, But God, a Testimony of God's Faithfulness. Genesis 31, verse 1. It says, And he heard the words of Laban's sons, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's hath he gotten all this glory. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. And the Lord said unto Jacob, Return unto the land of thy fathers, and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field and to his flock, and said unto them, I see your father's countenance, that is not toward me as before, but the God of my father hath been with me. And ye know that with all my power I have served your father, and your father hath deceived me, and changed my wages 10 times, but God suffered him not to hurt me. And he said thus, the speckled shall be thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckled. And if he said thus, the ring straight shall be thy hire, then bear all the cattle at ring straight. Thus God hath taken away the cattle of your father, and hath given them to me. And it came to pass, at the time that the cattle conceived, that I lifted up mine eyes, and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped among the cattle were ring straight, speckled, and grizzled. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, Here am I. And he said, Lift up now thine eyes, and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle, are ring straight, speckled, and grizzled. For I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. And Rachel and Leah answered and said unto him, Is there any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not counted of him strangers? For he hath sold us, and hath quite devoured also our money. For all the riches which God hath taken from our father, that is ours and our children's. Now then, whatsoever God hath said unto thee, do. Then Jacob rose up, and set his sons and his wives upon camels, and he carried them away, all his cattle and all his goods which he had gotten, the cattle of his getting which he had gotten in Padan-Aram, for to go to Isaac his father in the land of Canaan. Notice that a couple of times in that text, Jacob says, "But God, but my God was with me." And what a change God made in his life. God was faithful to Jacob. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you that we can come together this morning. Thank you for the Word of God which we hold in our hands, and that we come to hear from you, from this blessed book that you've given to us. And I pray that indeed we would be reminded of your faithfulness to us today. And Lord, that we'd be appreciative of your faithfulness. And Lord, that we would see the difference that it makes in our lives. Even those times when we are not perhaps aware of it like we should be. Lord, we thank you that you are faithful to us. And this morning, I pray that you would be faithful to speak to our hearts. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, to realize, first of all, there's a testimony of God's call. A testimony of God's call. In verse number 3, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Jacob, Return unto the land of thy fathers, unto thy kindred, and I will be with thee." Really, the story that we read this morning begins with this returning of Jacob. Jacob setting his sights on returning back to his land and back to his family. And that is because God is the one who said to him, "Return to thy family, thy kindred, and to the place I have called you to." Jacob's life is an unusual one, isn't it? We look back at the birth of Jacob, and you probably remember the story that he was born, of course, of his parents were Isaac and Rebekah. Jacob and Esau were born in fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham, which was passed on to Isaac and then to Jacob and so on, because God said to Abraham, "I will make of thee a great nation." But after 20 years of being married, Isaac and Rebekah had no children. And the Bible says that Isaac begged God that he would allow them to have a child. And you know the story, how that shortly thereafter, after Isaac was mentioned as making that prayer, that Rebekah was found to be expecting with twins. And there was a fight going on with inside her, as it were, because those two boys were wrestling for prominence. And God was faithful to his promise to give children to Isaac and to Rebekah. God told Rebekah at that time that the younger would be superior to the elder, that the older would serve the younger, which wasn't the typical situation. Now, the typical situation was that the oldest child would carry on the family name and get the larger part of the inheritance and so on. But God said that in this situation that the younger would be the one who would have that. The elder would serve the younger. It was through Jacob that God would bring about the great nation of Israel. Jacob's life began with that great promise, but there was many ups and downs along the way. There were some problems in the family. There was favoritism in the family, and the Bible says that Rebekah loved Jacob and Isaac loved Esau. Well, that's never a good situation when there's favoritism between the parents and there's that conflict there. But that was taking place in the family. We realize that it wasn't too long into the story of Jacob and Esau that Esau was very hungry one day. And he said, "I'm going to die." And Jacob said, "Well, I'll give you some food. Just give me the birthright. Just give me that prominence, that place where I would ultimately be like I'm the firstborn." And so he capitalized on his brother's misfortunes to gain that birthright. Rather than trusting God to bring it to pass in God's way, in God's time, because God promised that the elder would serve the younger, but Jacob said, I'm going to work this out myself. And you can imagine that, as we see in the story, that there was animosity there between the brothers as a result of that, because Esau said, "What good is my birthright if I'm dead? And so I'm so hungry, fine, you can have the birthright, just give me some food." And so there's much preaching possibly in that, but we carry on with the story and we find out later on that Jacob and his mother deceived Isaac. And when Isaac said, I want to bless Esau, and he called Esau in, he said, go and catch me some venison and bring it in, and I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you the blessing that belongs to you. Rebekah heard that, and she said, oh boy, we're going to figure this out, and we can't let Esau get that blessing. I want my favorite, Jacob, to get that blessing. And so she called in Jacob and said, Jacob, this is what we're going to do. And they came up with a plan to deceive Isaac. Again, taking on what they should have left to God. Boy, don't we get ourselves into trouble when we try and take over what God has said He will work out. You know, in the Bible we see there are many things that God says, you do this and I will do this. But sometimes we think, well, I don't know whether God's going to do that, so I'm going to help Him out and I'm going to do this. No, God has His plan. God had a plan in that situation, but the way they came about and did that was not the way they should have done it. And so the story carries on, and you know the story that when that took place, and Isaac was deceived, and he gave the blessing to Jacob, and then Esau, boy, he wasn't a happy man. Understandably so. He'd been tricked out of the blessing. Again, he lost his birthright, then his father's blessing, he missed out on it, and he said, I'm going to kill that brother of mine. And so quickly, Rebekah came up with an idea to have Isaac go and, you know, send Jacob away to go and find a wife amongst their kindred and their family. Again, even that was done deceitfully, wasn't it? Because Rebekah's plan wasn't really to get him to the homeland to find a wife. It was to get him away from Esau before Esau killed him. But we come to our story here in Genesis chapter 31. It's about 21 years past, according to the historian records and so on. And so 21 years had gone by since Jacob had left and fled to Padan Aram. He'd married. He'd become a large family, ultimately, that would become the 12 tribes of Israel. But Padan Aram wasn't the place where God had called Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to be. And so we come to this text here, and it says, the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers. God called him to go back. God called him to go back to the place where he had set out from. He called him to return home. Though God had blessed him along the way, he needed to get back to the promised land, back to the place where God had called them to. And God said to him here, Jacob, I want you to go back to the land of thy kindred, and I will be with thee. There was a call to return and a promise of God's presence in that return. Now remember why he left. Now there may be 20 years gone by or so, but remember why he left. He left for fear of his life. And now, as we see later on, as when he does go in obedience to God, he goes back, you can see he's scared to death that his brother is going to take his life still. And so what a great blessing it is that when God called him to return, God said, and I will be with thee. The faithfulness of God to be with Jacob in his return, to faithfully be with him there as he went back to the place that God wanted him to go back to. You know, it's a good thing to know that when we get away from the place where God wants us to be, that He calls us to return. Aren't you glad that God doesn't just give up on us and say, fine, just go your own way then? God called Jacob to return back, and it's a reminder to us that God calls us to return when we stray away from Him. He could just let us be. But God's desire is our best. God desires His plan and His purpose be fulfilled in our life, and so He calls us to return. Look with me in the book of Jeremiah. We see how God called the children of Israel to return to Him. Jeremiah chapter 3. And there are other verses we can look at throughout the scriptures, but Jeremiah chapter 3 here, several times in this one chapter, we see God calling Israel who fled, who turned away from God. And God was threatening them with judgment, saying, listen, if you don't turn from this way, then I'm going to have to bring chastisement and judgment upon you. But what does God desire for Israel here? They'd strayed away from Him. What does God desire them to do? Look at Jeremiah chapter 3. Verse 1 says, if a man put away his wife, they say, and she go far from him and become another man, shall he not return to her again? Shall not the land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers. Yet again, Yet return again to me, saith the Lord. God said to Israel, I want you to come back. I want you to return. Look at verse number 12. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. God says, return. Return to me. Look at verse number 22 of the same chapter again. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Three times in one chapter, God says to Israel, I want you to return. You strayed away. I want you to return. I want you to come back. And time again, when we stray in our life, what does God say? Return. Return unto me. Come back, return unto me. Come back to the place where you can enjoy that fellowship with me and return again. Sometimes we say, but I'm afraid of returning. I'm afraid of going back because I've strayed away and I just don't know what God's going to say and how things are going to be. But God gives us those words of assurance, doesn't He? Just like He gave to Jacob, return and I will be with thee. In John 6:47, Jesus said that him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You know what the devil wants to do if you strayed away from God is just make you say, well, it's too late. I messed up. I strayed away now. It's too late. But God says, no, I want you to return to me. And if you return to me, I will receive you. What does He say in 1 John 1:9? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God says, I want you to return. I don't want you to stay away. I want you to return to that place where I've called you to be. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. Some great verses. I was just mentioning these to somebody just the other day. But the Bible says, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. It's God's desire that we don't stray away in the first place. It's God's desire that we keep a close walk with Him, that we don't get away from Him. But He says, I've written these things that you sin not. That's why I want you to stay close to me. I don't want you to get into sin. But then the rest of the verse says, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He's saying, but if you do stray, if you do get away from me, realize that you have a place to come back to. You have one who is on your side. We have that advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous. It may be that you're here today and you recognize in your life that in some way you've strayed from God. God would be saying to you today, as He said to Jacob, return unto me. Return to the place where you were before. Return to the place of close fellowship with me. He's faithful to call us to return. Verse 13, we find that when Jacob is telling his family all about this, that he is reminding them of what God had done in his life. See, along the way to Padan Aram, Jacob had met God. You may remember that story in Genesis chapter 28, how the Bible says that he when he was fleeing, he met with God. And he called the place Bethel because he said, this is the house of God. He made a commitment to God and he said to God, he said, God, if you bring me back here again, he said, I will bless you. And he said, if all that I acquire, I'll return a tenth unto thee. And he made those commitments to God to bring him back, recognizing that's where God ultimately wanted him to be. Now here in chapter 31, we find in verse number 13, he's telling his wives about his commitment that he made to God. And about how God had called him to go back. And it says in verse 13, as he recounts what God had said, he said, I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest to vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. God had called him to go back, and he wanted his family to know, we're going back because God has called me to go back. God has called me to return. I made a vow to God. I committed myself to God and I promised God that I would return if that's what He wanted me to do. And God is calling us to return. He said, I'm not returning because your brothers don't like me anymore. They didn't. We read that in chapter, verse number 1. They said they were upset with Jacob. But He said, that's not why we're going back. We're not going back because I want to go back to mama. We're going back because God wants us to go back. We're going to return to the place that God has, because that's what God wants for us to do. You know, God has a plan for all of our lives. His desire is that we submit ourselves to that plan. That plan includes our salvation, doesn't it? He's not willing that any should perish. That means that He wants all of us to be saved. He would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That plan that God has for us is obedience. That plan that God has for us is service to God. We say, well, yeah, I know that. We know sometimes it's good for us to share and testify that to other people, to tell them of our salvation by the words that we speak, by the gospel that we share, by following the Lord in baptism and testifying to it that way, by the way we conduct our lives, to share with them the call of God on our lives, to explain that we want to do what God has for us to do. That's what Jacob said. He said, listen, I made a vow to God and I need to get back to that place where God wants me to be because God's called me to do that. And it was a testimony to his family that that's what he needed to do was to get back. And we need to testify to others of God has a plan. And I want to fulfill God's plan. I want to do what God wants me to do with my life. And so there was a testimony of God's call. And Jacob's life is a testimony to God's faithfulness to call. But there's also a testimony of God's care in verses 5 to 10. And this is really what attracted my attention to this portion of Scripture in relation to the message today, was the fact that there was a lot of circumstances going on in Jacob's life, but God was at work in it. But God was faithful to work in the situation. God had worked in Jacob's life, and Jacob testified to God's faithful care of him. And as he speaks to his wives about their father's deception, he testified of God's provision. He said, your father didn't mean it for it to turn out this way, but God was in it. But God was faithful to me. It's interesting, isn't it? Because in this portion of Scripture that we read that Jacob had been deceived. But who was Jacob? Jacob was the deceiver. Supplanter is what his name means. He had that name because he grabbed a hold of his brother's heel on the way out of the womb, almost as if, I'm going to take your place right now. But his name means to overthrow or to undermine. That's what supplanter means. He'd capitalized on his brother's misfortune. He had deceived his father for his own benefit. And now the shoe was on the other foot. He'd been deceived. Remember right back at the beginning of Laban's relationship with Jacob? When Jacob went back and he fell in love with Rachel, he said, I want to marry Rachel. And her father said, okay, well, you just got to work 7 years and she's all yours. So 7 years, he worked faithfully, hard work, and it said it seemed just as but a moment for the great love that he had for her. But wedding day came and there was a bait and switch thing going on. All of a sudden he found out he's married to the wrong woman. He was deceived. And her father said, oh, didn't we tell you in our country it's customary for the oldest to have to get married before the younger. So you couldn't marry Rachel. You have to marry Leah first. He'd been deceived. He was tricked into marrying the wrong wife. His father-in-law had deceived him and changed his wages at least 10 times. That's what Jacob says here. He said, okay, Jacob, you work for me. You can have some of my cattle. You can have all this kind of cattle. And then when that cattle started to be bountiful, Laban said, oh, hold on a minute. No, actually, not that cattle. You can have this color of cattle. And then God blessed, and Jacob was told, no, you can't have those cattle, you have this. And it was changed 10 times. Not for his benefit. See, boy, wages changed 10 times, that sounds pretty good. 10 raises, that's not so bad. No, they weren't raises. They were attempts to diminish his wages. They were to benefit Laban himself, not Jacob. But what happened? What was the testimony of it all? Through it all, God had blessed and God had turned around. He said, your father's changed my wages 10 times. Look at verse 7. But God suffered him not to hurt me. The faithfulness of God to provide, to care for Jacob, but God suffered him not to hurt me. Laban had meant to harm Jacob. He'd meant to deceive him. He'd meant to reduce his wages and have him have the weak and sickly cattle. But no, but God was in it. And Jacob said to them, but God didn't allow that to take place. Isn't that a testimony to the faithfulness of God? God said, I'm not going to allow you to harm Jacob, though that's your plan. But God. You remember, if it hadn't been for God, Jacob would have been left poor. He would have all the sickly, weak cattle. But he said, but God wouldn't allow that to happen. But God took care of me. The testimony of Jacob here is a great reminder that God watches over His children. God is faithful to bless. God is faithful to watch over us and to be with us in our life. We get so consumed with money and the cares of this life, but God reminds us that He cares for the birds of the birds. They don't have to plant flocks, or plant crops, rather. They don't have flocks either. I don't think any birds have sheep. But they don't plant fields of things, but God looks after them. Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 6, and He said that the fields, He said they look beautiful, more beautiful than Solomon in all His glory, because God puts those nice flowers on the fields. God watches over them. God cares for them. And He says, don't you think you're of more value than many sparrows? God says, I just want you to know that I care about you, that I'm watching over you. I'll be faithful to look after you. And then He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's not to say that we don't need to work or to do our part, but we need to recognize that don't be consumed with the acquisition of things, but rather trust God and look to God, and God will take care of us. God will be with us as He was with Jacob. We worry about promotions and how to climb the ladder and what we can do and all those things. But God says, I'm the one who sets down one and puts up another. Promotion doesn't come from the east or from west or from the south. It comes from God. He expects us to be faithful and expects us to do our part. But He says, I will take care of you. The great promise of Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 is that, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Say, but there are times when this world doesn't treat us fairly. I worked hard. I deserved the promotion. Somebody else got it. That wasn't right. Just remember, but God. But God. He's there. He's active in the situation. He can see. He can see far better than we can. The believer is encouraged to do as our Savior did. And the Bible says that Jesus, when He was suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously. In 1 Peter 2:23. And so we see this testimony of Jacob's life. And yet in our minds we say, but this is Jacob. This isn't Joseph. Joseph was that faithful man who obeyed God and served God and put God first in his life. And then we say, well, you know, last week we looked at Joseph and we say, Joseph, his testimony was consistently pleasing God, serving God. No wonder God worked these things out in his life. But this morning we're looking at Jacob, Jacob the deceiver, Jacob the one who didn't always do what was right. The one who struggled to keep his life close to God. They get one who had his moments of great faith and other moments of great weakness. And we say, how does that picture in? Because God continued to be faithful to him. Again, it's a testimony to us and a reminder that God is faithful to us in our lives. God is faithful to us even when we don't deserve it, when we least deserve it. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:13, if we believe not, yet He abideth faithful, He cannot deny Himself. Oh, what a great promise, isn't it? When we believe not, yet He abideth faithful, He cannot deny Himself. What a testimony to God's faithfulness. What a gracious God is ours. The Bible says that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Say, oh, that's great then. I can just go and live any old way I want and everything will be fine and God will look after me. No, he goes on to say, after he says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, in Romans chapter 5, at the end of the chapter, he begins chapter 6 by saying, shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? What's the next verse? But God, no, God forbid. No, no, no. The grace of God is there for when we fall and when we fail. It's not an excuse to intentionally forget God. But oh, what a gracious God He is to be faithful to us when we don't deserve it, when we least deserve it. And I believe as Jacob testified here to his wives that he said, listen, I didn't always deserve it, but somehow God was with me and God turned around things and God was faithful to me. The testimony of God's faithful care. Turn with me in closing to Genesis chapter 48. Genesis chapter 48 is the end of Jacob's life. You know, we looked last week at Joseph and how we talked a little bit about how all his family ended up coming down to Egypt and so on. In Genesis chapter 48, after Joseph has seen his father again and renewed that acquaintance and the great blessing that was, there came the time when Jacob was about to pass away. His name had been changed, of course, from Jacob to Israel by God, Prince with God, from deceiver, supplanter to Israel, Prince with God. And it says in verse 21, here at the end of Jacob's life, it says, and Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again into the land of your fathers. Yeah, we recognize the testimony of God's call. There's a testimony of God's care. And then at the end of Jacob's life, he gives to us a testimony of God's continuance. A testimony of God's continuance, God's faithfulness to Jacob so impacted his life that he could say with confidence as the closing breaths of his life, he could say to Joseph, I am going to pass away, but God will be with you. But God will fulfill His promises to you. I won't be here, Joseph, but God will. But God will continue with you. God will continue. He will fulfill His promise to bring you to the promised land. He's not going to let you stay in Egypt. Egypt is not our place. God is going to take us back to the land that He promised to give us. He recognized that if God had been with him throughout his life, with all its ups and downs, that surely God will be with His children in fulfillment of His promise. What an encouragement that must have been to Joseph and to his brothers and Joseph's children. God will be with you. I won't be here, Joseph. I won't be here because God, it's my time to go, but God will be with you. A testimony of God's continuance. Our own testimony of God's faithfulness in our life is that which we need to pass on to other people. In Psalm 78, verses 2 to 7, Israel was challenged to pass on their faith to their children, that the generation to come might place their faith and hope in God because of what they'd seen God do and what they'd heard of what God had done for their parents, that the generation to come would realize that, would be told of God's faithfulness, and that they would place their faith and trust in God. Our children, those around us, need to know that God is faithful. And God will continue to be faithful. God's been faithful to me. When my life ends, when my life is no longer, I will be able to say that God has been faithful to me, and God will continue to be faithful to all who trust in Him. He will continue to be faithful to His children. Because He said, faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 24. Jacob's life is testimony to God's faithful continuance. He will do what He has promised. We can count on it. We need to pass that message on to those who follow behind us. But God will be with you. Where would we be without God's faithfulness? We'd be consumed, according to Lamentations. It's of His mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. Great is Thy faithfulness. God's faithfulness is a game changer in this life. Because there are times when this life just doesn't seem fair, it doesn't seem right, but God. We fail, we stray, but God says, return unto me. Others may deceive us and things don't seem right, but God will provide for us. One day we'll all take our last breath in this life, but God will continue to be with those who follow Him, those who follow behind us. God will continue to be with Him, with them. Jacob's life, accompanied by the lives of many other Bible characters, is surely a testimony of God's faithfulness. He is faithful to call. He's calling sinners to salvation today. If you know not Jesus Christ as your Savior, I know that God is speaking to your heart today and He's saying, come unto Me and I will give you rest. He's calling saints on to sanctification to follow Him. He's calling those who strayed away back to that place of close fellowship with Him. He's faithful to call. He is faithful to care. You can trust Him today to guide you and provide for you. And even when you don't deserve it, when you fail Him, He'll still be faithful. But don't let that cause you to live carelessly. And He is faithful to continue. We can tell others that He will do the same for them. We can testify to the faithfulness of God. But God, it's a testimony to God's faithfulness. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You again for this time in Your Word. Thank You for this portion of Scripture, and thank You for the life of Jacob. Lord, it may be we can see ourselves in Jacob's life this morning. It may be that we have see ourselves as straying and not walking as close to You as You desire us to be. And Lord, we, through Jacob's life, could see that You are calling us to that place where we need to be. Lord, it may be that we've been discouraged perhaps with the affairs of this life and thinking that You have forgotten to care for us. But Lord, may we realize this morning that You are in control. And though people may change our way just 10 times as it were, yet You are faithful. You promised to care for us. And Lord, I pray that we'd also pass on that message that You are faithful to continue to care for those who would follow on behind us. And may we indeed be those who would testify to that faithfulness and remind people that they can trust You. Lord, whatever the need is of our life this morning, I pray You speak to our hearts, and may it be that we would be drawn closer to You. And Lord, may we leave here blessed to know the faithfulness of God in our life. Faithful to call, faithful to care, and faithful to continue. Lord, speak to us, I pray, in Jesus' name.